becoming a woman after God's own heart, as we've looked at David's life. And now we come to the end of David's reign as king, and we come to the end of his life tonight. And it sure went by fast. Of course, we only just skimmed the surface. There's so many great lessons that we just didn't have time to go into. So much good in David's life that we have learned from, not just us, but thousands and millions throughout time as they've read the scriptures and studied it. One man, one life, and look at what God did through him and how many people his life has touched, because he had a heart after the Lord's. David left one of the best legacies anyone could ever leave behind. His life, it mattered. It counted. It counted for something good and something godly, because his life was all about the Lord. And he glorified the Lord through his life, giving him honor. Not a perfect man at all, but a man who just loved the Lord and was completely sold out for the Lord. And now we come to the end, as I said, where David kind of shares his final words, those things that were on his heart, the things that he wanted others to know and to remember after he moved on. Maybe you've thought about that. I think maybe all of us have from time to time, especially as you get older. Maybe not so much when you're young, but as you get older, you think about that. You think about, well, what especially if you go to a memorial service. And I have found, actually, it's probably been within the last year or two, I've been to more than I would like to have gone to, of course, because those people have moved on into heaven. But when you sit at a memorial service and you hear about that person's life, maybe you didn't know them really, really well, but you knew them. They were acquaintances, or you knew the wife or the husband or something like that. And you sit and you listen. And I don't know, the ones I went to, I just thought, I wish I would have known that person more. That what an incredible man. What an incredible woman. How many lives they touched for the Lord. Anyway, so those kind of things, it makes you think. You know, we all think about that from time to time. What would I say? What would I want to say if I knew this was the end? You know, what would I want to say? What do I want to leave behind for others, for my children, for my family, for my friends? And what do I want to be remembered by? Those are interesting thoughts. And, of course, we don't dwell on them too long, but we do think about them. You know, some people are remembered by just this great accomplishment in their life, or by their wealth that they had, the possessions that they had, or their fame, or those types of things. And that's all, you know, fine and dandy. But you look at David. Now, I don't know about you, but when I think about David, who had great accomplishments, he was a mighty warrior. He conquered the enemy. I mean, he defeated the giant. His position, I mean, he was famous. He is the king over the nation of Israel. I mean, what he did was truly amazing. Wealth. He's the wealthiest man in the nation. He's the king. So you could remember him by all of those things. And yet I don't think you do either. I think we remember him, by his relationship with the Lord, because I don't think those things mattered to him. What mattered to him, again, was his relationship with the Lord, how he loved the Lord, and how he served the Lord all the days of his life. And then he wanted others to remember all the Lord had done for him. And we do, because we read these Psalms and we know what the Lord has done for him. So if you turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 28, just read the first 7 verses. Now David assembled at Jerusalem all the leaders of Israel, the officers of the tribes and the captains of the divisions who served the king, the captains over thousands and captains over hundreds, and the stewards over all the substance and possessions of the king and his sons, with the officials, the valiant men, and the mighty men of valor. Then King David arose to his feet, and he said to all these people, "Hear me, my brethren and my people. I had it in my heart to build a house of rest for the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and for the footstool of our God, and made preparations to build it. But God said to me, 'You shall not build a house for my name, because you have been a man of war and have shed blood. However, the Lord God of Israel chose me above all the house of my father to be king over Israel forever. He has chosen Judah to be the ruler, and of the house of Judah, the house of my father, and among the sons of my father, he was pleased with me to make me king over all Israel. And of all my sons, for the Lord has given me many sons, he has chosen my son Solomon to sit on the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel. Now he said to me, 'It is your son Solomon who shall build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. Moreover, I will establish his kingdom forever if he is steadfast to observe my commandments and my judgments as it is this day.'" So as we know from previous study that David wanted to build the temple, and God said no, but Solomon, his son, was going to be able to do that. And David now, he is at the end of his life, and he is setting things in order, and he is passing that torch on, or passing the baton on to his son, and making that transfer so everybody can see, everybody can know, I am ready to leave, and this is who the Lord has raised up. Verse 8, "Now therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the assembly of the Lord, and in the hearing of our God, be careful to seek out all the commandments of the Lord your God, that you may possess this good land and leave it as an inheritance for your children after you forever. As for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve him with a loyal heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches the hearts and understands all the intents of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever." So David speaks to the people, and then he speaks to his son. And he's telling his son in front of everyone to know the Lord, to know the Lord. And you know what? When it comes down to it, that's what we want to leave people with. That is all that matters. You know, if you're a mom, you know the only thing that matters is that your children know the Lord, that your children know him and walk with him. It's the most important thing in anyone's life. And this is a desire of our hearts as moms, and to pray for our children. We cannot pray enough. Mine are grown, of course, and I look back and wish I would have prayed more, although I can pray now, and because God is outside of the time continuum, he still works. He just uses it all, and it's not over yet. Moms, it's not over yet with your children. But that is the most important thing. And that's what David, here he is at the end of his life. What does he tell his son? To know the Lord. John wrote in 3 John, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." And as a mom, we can say amen to that. We know you can take everything away, but if I have that, there's no greater joy in my life to know that my children walk in truth. Philippians 3:10, I love that verse, "that I might know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death." This is what David is telling Solomon. know him. Know the Lord. Know the Lord. So for our lives, as we're kind of going, you know, listening to this, going through this with David, we put ourselves in his place. What's the most important thing for us to leave behind and to tell our children, to tell our husband, to tell our friends, to tell whoever is in our sphere of influence, to know the Lord. And then to serve the Lord. David served the Lord. And he's telling his son, serve the Lord. Because without, there is no other purpose in life but to serve the Lord. I don't know about you, but before I knew the Lord, life was very empty, very empty. What do you, you know, I didn't fill it with a bunch of stuff. A lot of people fill it with careers and possessions and all of that, and they're trying to fill a void that they can't fill. But I just, at a very young age, I just thought, this is empty. There's got to be more than this. Then I knew the Lord and then started serving him. There's purpose for my life. I mean, you know, what do you do? You know, there have been so many times, true confession here, so many times throughout the years where you just get tired and you just think, I can't do this anymore. I can't teach weekly. I can't do women's ministry. I just need a break. I need to be able to choose if I go or not, like everybody else chooses, you know. I don't have that choice because I have to be here, you know. Then I think, well, what in the world would you do? What are you going to go, you know, don't take this wrong. Maybe I shouldn't even say it. I don't know. This is just me. There's nothing wrong with this. This is me. I say to myself, what are you going to do, work in the garden? I mean, okay, it's nice, but that's not fulfilling to me. It's not count for eternity. You know, I mean, those kind of things. Serve the Lord. He's telling his son, serve the Lord. What else are you going to do, Solomon, with your life? You're going to waste it if you don't serve the Lord. It gives us purpose and fulfillment. That's true satisfaction. You know, you can have a beautiful this and a beautiful that and this and whatever that all is in your mind. You know, you have a little bit of satisfaction, a little bit of, okay, yeah, I did that. But in light of eternity, what's it matter? No, it's when I'm serving the Lord that it counts. He tells him to serve him, to know him, to serve him with a loyal heart, a heart that is sold out for the Lord, faithful to the Lord. Faithfulness is a big deal to the Lord. Not just this in and out, back and forth thing. Come on, all the way. Faithful, loyal heart, and a willing mind. And boy, did the Lord give Solomon quite a mind, quite wisdom. And of course, he wasted it and didn't follow his father's instruction, which is a whole different message. Deuteronomy 10:12 says, now Israel, what does the Lord God require of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. That's what we're made to do. That's what he's commanded us to do. That's what we get to do. David's just saying, Solomon, this is what you need to do. This is the most important thing to David as a father and as a ruler of the nation, that his son and that the next king would know the Lord, would serve the Lord with a loyal heart and with a willing mind. Jesus said of himself, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. Jesus, the servant king. David didn't charge his son or the people with things that he himself did not do. He did those things. He lived that. He knew a life and what a life was like in knowing the Lord and in serving the Lord. And he knew that it was a blessed life for him and for the nation. And that's what he wanted to pass on to his son. We pass on what is important to us. And that was important to David. David then encouraged him, verse 20. David said to his son Solomon, be strong and of good courage and do it. Do not fear nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, my God, will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you until you have finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. David knew this to be true because God was faithful in his life. And he knew that God, he is there with him, his favor is upon him, and God will be faithful to his son. He gave him and he left his son with the truth about the Lord. He spoke the truth. He encouraged his son in the Lord. He instilled hope and confidence in him. That's what we want to leave behind, whether it's to our children or to other people. We want to instill hope and confidence in the Lord. In the Lord. And if we live that kind of life, they can not only see it, but then hear it. And David had, his words meant something because his life reflected that he lived that. So David, though he couldn't build this temple, Solomon would, he did what he could do. And he made preparations for it. Chapters 22 through 29 in 1 Chronicles, which is that ending time of David's life, it speaks of him putting things in order and providing all the materials that were needed for the temple. And what David was doing is it was his way of laying up treasure in heaven. He couldn't physically do the work, but he could sure provide for it. He could do whatever he could do to make that temple come to be and to be built, to be what God wanted it to be. So he's laying up, he's working, he's serving, he's giving, he's laying up treasure in heaven. Chapter 29. Furthermore, King David said to all the assembly, "My son Solomon, whom alone God has chosen, is young, inexperienced, and the work is great because the temple is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now for the house of God, I have prepared all my might, gold for things to be made of gold, silver for things of silver, bronze for things of bronze, iron for things of iron, wood for things of wood, onyx stones, stones to be set, glistening stones of various colors, all kinds of precious stones, marble slabs in abundance. Moreover, because I have set my affection on the house of my God, I have given to the house of my God over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house, my own special treasure of gold and silver." So David, he set his affection on the Lord and on building that temple, on laying up treasures in heaven and doing whatever he could do. He gave his all. He prepared for that. Jesus said, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." David did this, and he left his children and the whole nation an example. Look what he left behind. Not just because there was a lot of wealth in that. It's the example of doing that, of giving of his own, of having his heart so set on the things of the Lord. That's where his resources went to. Not to himself, but to the things of the Lord. It was kingdom work. And it counts for eternity. He lived for eternity. And that's how we're supposed to live. We're supposed to lay up treasures on earth and not gain a bunch of stuff here that then you got to go through and get rid of. But to live in light of eternity and lay up treasures. And it's not just, we're not just talking all, just giving all my money and all my things. There's a lot more to it. Do that, but you give your life. You give your time. You give the best years of your life to the things of the Lord, because that's laying up treasures in heaven. You know, you've heard that story told that there was a very, very wealthy woman who kept most of her wealth for herself, and then one day she finds herself at the pearly gates, and Peter's walking her to her abode in heaven, and she's looking at these mansions, and oh, I just can't wait to see mine, because if she was so used to living in luxury and blah blah blah, and they go down, to the next step and the next step and the next step, and we know that heaven is not like that, but for the illustration, so you're now into the low income, all of that, whatever. And then she gets this little tiny thing. She just could not believe it. And he said, well, you know what? We did the best we could with the materials you sent ahead. And you know what? There's truth to that. There's truth to that. Do we want it all here? David didn't. He sent it ahead. He was laying up treasures in heaven. And if we live like that, like for eternity, and we are laying up treasures in heaven, what an example to our children. What a gift to leave them. Now, sometimes we think, okay, well, we have to get some stuff so we have this inheritance to leave to our children. So we can leave the fancy home or the cars or the jewels or the this or the that or whatever. But reality is that most of us aren't going to have that much anyway. Wouldn't it be best to, at the end of our lives, be able to leave our children with the example of a life lived for the Lord, knowing the Lord, serving the Lord, with a loyal heart and a willing mind, in a life that's truly laid up treasures in heaven? That is a rich inheritance that we can give to those that we leave behind. David then charged the people to set their affection on the Lord. In verse 5, at the end of it, he said, who then is willing to consecrate himself this day to the Lord? And I love this, because here he is at the end of his life, and he's still being king. He's still being a leader. And he's still looking out for those people, exhorting them, wanting the very best for them. So who is willing? Of course, they all rose up and they had more than enough. And then in verses 10 through 15, David did what he was in the habit of doing with the people. And that was praising the Lord and blessing the Lord in front of the people. David said, bless the Lord before all the assembly. Verse 10, blessed are you, Lord God of Israel, our Father forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power and the glory, the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord. You are exalted as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you. You reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. But who am I, and who are these people that we should be able to offer so willingly as this? For all things come from you, and of your own we have given you. For we are aliens and pilgrims before you, as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow and without hope. He just praises the Lord in front of the people. This is what he does at the end of his life. He's not murmuring. He's not complaining. He is praising the Lord. He wants to leave the people with praises in their heart, pointing them to the Lord. David wrote in Psalm 71, O God, you have taught me from my youth, and to this day I declare your wondrous works. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to everyone who is to come. What a great verse. What a great way to live our lives, especially as we're getting older. You know, to memorize that one. Lord, now take me home, please, until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to everyone who is to come. Till I pass it on till I stand up and boldly proclaim. Asaph wrote in Psalm 78, we will not hide them, speaking of God's word or his praises, from their children, telling the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. This is what David's doing at the end of his life. He's just passing that on. He is declaring to the people who God is, how great he is, turning their eyes upon him. And we also need to leave praise behind. I mean, every day, everywhere we go, we need to leave praise behind. It should be a little trail that follows us. And then especially at the end of our life, that people would remember. We're giving glory to the Lord. We're giving praise to the Lord. David closes his address with the people and to his son with a prayer. Verse 16, O Lord our God, all this abundance that we have prepared to build you a house for your holy name is from your hand and is all your own. I know also, my God, that you test the heart and you have pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of my heart, I have willingly offered all these things, and now with joy I have seen your people who are present here to offer willingly to you. And would that not bless a parent's heart or a leader's heart to see the children, to see the people give unto the Lord and live for the Lord? O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the intent of the thoughts of the heart of your people and fix their heart towards you. And give my son Solomon a loyal heart to keep your commandments and your testimonies and your statutes, to do all these things and to build the temple for which I have made provision. Then David said to all the assembly, now bless the Lord your God. So all the assembly bless the Lord God of their fathers, bowed their heads and prostrated themselves before the Lord and the king. It's just beautiful. You know, we don't know David's exact words right before he breathed his last breath, because that was a private moment that wasn't recorded. But we know that publicly, we know from this what he left with the people. And what he left with his son. And his heart was for those people till his last breath. And his heart was for his son and that next king to rule over those people. And this prayer was for the people. It wasn't for him. It was for the people. I mean, that's what he left them with and his son with. He prayed that their hearts and their motives would always be toward God. It would be like God's. And this is a great example for us. These things that he has charged them, has prayed for them, for us to be praying for our children, for those that we might leave behind. I mean, you never know. You know, our days are numbered and you don't know. You don't know. You think you know. You don't know. We don't know. So you got to be ready at all times. And so start praying these things into those people's lives that are around you, that you love. You're going to pray and you're going to say what is important to you. And I just love that this is what was important to David. Again, it's all about the Lord, all about the Lord. Every single one of us, we will be remembered when we move on and go to heaven. We will be remembered, some of us by many and some of us by just a few, but we will be remembered. And what are we going to be remembered by? You know, what are we going to be remembered by? We want to be remembered the way that David was remembered. And what will we leave them? What will we leave those that we love with to remember us? And what is the final words of our life? What's that? What is our heart going to say? These are good things for us to think about. I don't think that our final words are just the words that we say. I think our final words are a life that we have lived. It's the legacy that we leave behind. So let's continue to live our lives knowing the Lord in a deeper way. It's my prayer for myself this summer is that I will know the Lord in a deeper way and that I will have a greater knowledge of His Word. That's what I want the Lord to do in my life. And then I need to do whatever it takes to be in that place, to get deeper in Him. But we need to go deeper and we need to live a life that we can leave a life that behind us when we leave, that they people can look at that. Our kids, our husband, our friends can look at that life. That's a woman after God's own heart. She loved the Lord. She served the Lord. Maybe she didn't leave great possessions. Maybe she didn't do great things that we think are great. Oh, but look at her Bible. It's worn. Those pages are worn out because she is in the Word. Look at her knees. They're calloused because she's been praying. You know, what do we want to leave behind? And Father, we just pray, Lord, with this whole series of a man after God's own heart and a woman after God's own heart, Lord. You hear our heart's cry, and each one of us, Lord, you know better than we do that we're each one in a different place. We're in a different place in our relationship with you and on our walks with you. But Lord, would you help us to take a step closer and another step closer and to go deeper and deeper and deeper in you. Father, thank you for David, this man, the incredible things that you did in his life, all the trials, all the hardship, all the ups, all the downs, all the emotions. Lord, thank you that you left this for us. And Lord, just work in our lives, please. All of us, from this point on, throughout the summer, that we would go deeper and deeper in you. Father, thank you for the work you've done in us. Thank you that we can leave behind a life that says, I love the Lord, I walked with the Lord, and I served the Lord, and that the Lord is good and faithful to all. Pray, Father, that you would go before my sisters and you would bless their time that they have with one another, talking about these things and talking about you. Bless them, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. And God bless you really good.